A week solidarity bricky team listener when the big polluting countries and the big polluters got together with their non-big polluting victims to explain that ongoing big polluting will be the antidote to big polluting, the fossil transition from fossils to fossils. An explanation explaining the name of the talk fest, Cop That. And then they'll argue over the wording of a resolution showing their commitment to a fossil-led recovery, knowing renewables can't be part of the transition because, well, what happens when the sun don't shine and the wind don't blow? Although a few nuclear power plants mightn't go astray because they don't pollute, if we discount the 200,000 or so years to sort out the waste problem, but then, given the parallel fossil-led recovery, that won't matter because the planet will be fried anyway. Oh, and they'll debate how much to provide for the non-polluters to adjust to the threats to which their contribution was, stroke is, roughly zero, give or take, before they go away and forget all that, and then they'll congratulate each other on achieving so much and say, goodbye till next time, next talk fest, by which time many of the annoying non-polluters who keep complaining and upsetting the big polluters won't be around to upset them, having sunk involuntarily into the briny. All this cop that intensity in a luxury resort in that bastion of liberty, freedom and democracy, Egypt. Delegates safely removed from the arrests, imprisonment, torture and summary executions of evil criminals like community, human rights, welfare, trade union, worker and other activists. True Blue Aussie basking in its commitment to cut pollution by 43% by 2030, achieved without cutting pollution, hopes to chair one of these talk fests with our Pacific family we suddenly so care about, although not enough to prevent us sending massive and increasing levels of coal and gas through their rising seas, rising waters to other big polluters, making lots and lots and lots of lovely, lovely profits for our big polluters who tell us how much they so desire to reduce their big pollution, only not just yet. And thus, yet another cop will come and go achieving the lofty ambitions of the great polluters, the rich and powerful, and of the governments whose strings they pull. On these matters, a US of the UN of the US of the world engineer, Jeremy Fetvet, F-E-T-V-D-T, real name, is in True Blue Aussie working on a project funded by the coal industry to reduce the emissions from coal plants, mainly by burying his, their and its heads in the sand, the ostrich solution. And Jeremy assured us, forget zero emissions by 2050, assured us coal will be around for hundreds of years. Just a pity there'll be no life round to enjoy it other than maybe the odd reptile or some creature evolved to survive on a dead planet. Not even sure Jeremy would go down that well at the COP pollution talk fest. Well, other than with the big polluters who are paying him anyway, spouting their green credentials to enable them to pursue their brown-black intentions. In the Save the Planet Sweet and Sour department, True Blue Aussie says it will join a global deforestation ban. That's the sweet bit. But, it says, we will achieve that in huge part by, quote, shifting deforestation away from government-driven regulation to private sector-funded market-driven solutions. Like, that isn't the reason we need a deforestation ban in the first place. Oh, of course, silly me. That's publicly funded, market-driven non-solutions. Why would we think that's the sour bit? The Small Business Profits Association finally saw the light after upsetting the other sundry chambers of profits, the good unions, for supporting the evil unions, nation and economy, destroying anti-True Blue Aussie proposals for multi-employer bargaining, which the sensible, good, caring employer unions know will lead to strike action at the drop of a hard hat, or before you could say Sally McManus. Joining all other chambers of profits in calling for the government to make some sensible changes to its caring business class relations bill. Sensible changes, we ask caring business class spokesperson Innes Will Cost the workers. Yes, we will accept this legislation. We will accept it will strike a perfect balance if they simply eliminate all clauses that benefit workers. This will allow us to continue to make workers' lives so much better. Naturally, the government has taken the caring employers' advice, backed up by the independents whose Senate vote it relies upon, who know that giving more power to evil unions would lead to a national disaster, and has begun making amendments to appease the sensible suggestions. We put to caring business class relations minister Tony Bark worse then. It seems to be reduced to a strip of paper with lots of holes in it. The top bill's title, its name, seems to be the only thing left. And that's important, because the name is what will make workers' lives better and lead to real wage rises. No, I exaggerate, because one section is intact, highlighting the powerful impact the week that was has on True Blue Aussie politics. After our expose last week of evil union official Josh Cullinan of the Retail and Hospitality Workers Union, an evil union if ever there was one, upsetting great retail and hospitality caring employers by uncovering underpayment, shocking conditions, abuse, exploitation over and above, and other sensible business practices. Well, thanks to us, listener, the bits left in the bill not only exclude the evil construction unions from multi-employer bargaining, should this threat survive the cut, but exclude unregistered organisations like Josh Cullinan's evil union or individual workers from the right to suggest some workers could be worse off under the boot, the better off overall test, leaving the right to appear before the Fair Work True Blue Aussie No Longer Will Work Choices Just Looks Like It commission to registered unions like the good Shopping the Workers Association. See, association, not an evil union. Which, since the retail and fast food lot has come along, is sounding almost militant, almost as if it cares about workers as much as it cares about their caring employers. With the evil union and its restless workers sidelined, the Shopping the Workers Association can get back to business as usual, the business of business. And top marks to the socialists and Tony Bark worse than for heeding our warning. Well, they are dedicated listeners who seek our guidance, and heeding the advice of the Shopping the Workers Association and caring employers and showing such concern for fast food and retail workers. Let's hope the evil union doesn't find a way to keep making the lives of caring employers and the good union so miserable. Speaking of miserable, we can but imagine the tears shed, tears flowing in union offices, particularly the maritime unions, and in goody-goody long-haired commie refugee support groups over the demise of a former week that was favourite, Peter Root the Workers, architect of the aforementioned work choices, ostensibly making evil unions acting as evil unions a crime. There was that small mistake in telling us evil people seeking refuge had thrown their dear little children overboard, an obvious mistake, because we know Pete, and then big supremo little Johnny Howhard, would never, never tell a lie. As little Johnny said, he was a great True Blue Aussie, he really was. He was a close friend, he really was, which is all that needs to be said about Peter Root the Workers. He had been suffering from Alzheimer's, obviously a very, very late diagnosis of a long-term condition. Which reminds me, the totally non-delusional former US of Big Supremo Donald Trump or the Poor declared the defeat of his hand-picked candidates in US of midterm elections a great success, the greatest great success ever. Although we've got no idea whether he intends to run for Big Supremo again. Well, perhaps the odd subtle hint, as he poured his renowned vitriolic scorn on anyone who opposes him all over the Florida governor, whom he labelled de sanctimonious, a guy who'd be rivaling Donald on the who's further to the right scale, ideological, if we could call it ideology, ideological buddies, but no. There may be a hint there. And given de sanctimonious had a huge victory, the vitriol is likely to ramp up, although Donald will assure us that huge victory was nothing compared to his own great result, the greatest great result ever. Then again, Donald did tell us this week he won the last election by a greater margin than in 2016. In the truth department, he should be joining little Johnny paying tribute to Peter Root the Workers. Always a tough one, but the Feminist Solidarity of the Week award to the Lord Rupert of Wapping Sin, a regular favourite in this award, for coverage of a middle-aged ex-footballer who portrays himself as a humorous, hail fellow well-met, who has very conservative politics. He contemplated running for the caring business class Hayseed and Sheepshit Coalition, who has a new relationship with, quote, brunette beauty Justine. No, no, that's not earned the award. It's the headline. Billy finds a new filly. Good heavens. Is he in a new relationship with a beautiful brunette horse? Then again, what rhymes with Billy and filly? Lord Rupert of Wapping Sin, your Feminist Solidarity Award of the Week is on its way. And the Understatement of the Week award to Uluru dialogue campaigner and constitutional lawyer Professor Megan Davis at the National Press Club. I think having Constable Peter Duffer on board would be a good thing, but I don't think we're there yet. Go on. See? Understatement. I wonder what she'd really like to say. Although, in fairness to Pete, giant minds have a lot to weigh up in deciding whether Indigenous people like Megan should be considered real human beings. Finally, 11-11. Poor old Ned Kelly. Such is life, whatever that meant in the circumstances. And as we reported last week, the US OB is making Pine Gap an even bigger nuclear target. It's 47 years since the slightest suggestion a socialist government may question Pine Gap led to Her Most Gracious Majesty sacking the government with more than a little help from the US OB. Encouraging to see the mainstream media reminding us we must not forget. Good morning.